Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody is having a fantastic day out there. I'm your host, Curtis Harwell, and I am talking to you live from Austin, Texas, USA, and we're at the Austin, Texas studios, and you are listening to America's best and most listened to fitness show, the Curtis Harwell Show. And I try to get here as often as I can. Some weeks I'm here more than others, depending on what the schedule looks like. But I work as hard as I can so I can get a great show out to you with great topics and great information. And I try as hard as I can to discuss the topics that's going to help you and your family to a better and healthier lifestyle. And I do want to thank all of my listeners who made us the most listened to fitness show, basically on the internet worldwide, the worldwide internet. And we have topped over 4 million listens. Fantastic number. Never thought I'd ever get close to anything like that. I just figured if I could get a couple of hundred people listening to me, I would be happy that. And again, without you, I absolutely would not have this show. This show is for you. If you'd like to contact us or participate in the show, ask any questions or anything, you can go to Facebook and you can get me at Curtis Harwell. You can also get me at the Curtis Harwell Talk Radio Show or Curtis Harwell Fit, which is my training page. Or you can call in the show at 347-850-8748 because we are live. Another great topic today. Let's jump right into it. I'm going to discuss today something that I don't think I'm really surprised, but not as many people as you would believe really don't understand when they put food in their mouth what actually happens to the food, what is the process. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to actually discuss what happens to your body, and then secondarily, I'm going to discuss with you what happens to you when you eat food for your brain. So we're going to talk about your brain and your body. What happens with the food that you eat? Now, right from the start, what I'd like, give you a little bit of an idea. We're going to be talking again about proteins, the macronutrients, and we're going to be talking about protein, carbohydrates, and fats and how they're processed. But I do really want to emphasize right from the beginning so you get a great understanding from the neck up on the human body, your brain functions off of carbohydrates for energy, not protein nor fat does it use for energy. So if you have those situations where, let's say, you go on a low carbohydrate diet or you're low on carbs in a day and your blood sugar levels dropping, you always notice that you get a little moody, a little short, you get lightheaded, you just don't have the energy, you just feel foggy. Well, part of that reason is because you are or may be carbo depleted, and your body your brain just doesn't have the energy to keep going. So, have some emergency food all the time with you, a protein bar that has some carbohydrates in it. I even in my bag all of the time for short term, if I have a situation like that, I'll keep raw honey in my bag, in my gym bag with me that I carry everywhere I go. And so if I don't have any food, what I'll do is I'll grab that honey and I'll do a quick splash in my mouth and just get some sugar going. And then usually within, it doesn't even take 10, 15 minutes. I come back really quick, and then you make sure that you get some real food in you. So just keep in mind, how your brain, you know, just uses carbohydrates. Then on the other hand, I also want you to realize whenever you eat sugar, sugar goes to fat, okay? I know that's, I've been trying to get that concept across to people. So when you eat sugar, now we're not talking about a complex carbohydrate. We just had a show on this. When you eat the complex carbohydrates, they absolutely go to your muscle cells, but you want to make sure when you eat the when you eat sugar that you know that those sugars will go to fat. So you want to stay, you absolutely want to stay away from sugar. Okay, so let's head off here. So how does the food we eat become the energy we need to grow and move, you know, function? Now the process is complex. It really is, but it usually works smoothly because each part of our gastrointestinal tract, that also includes the esophagus, which is the swallowing tube. We also have you know, the stomach, the small and large intestine. We have the pancreas, we have the liver, and we have the gallbladder. And the gallbladder has a specific job that it does very well. Now, in this show today, I'm going to show you how how to follow the food, how as it moves throughout the body, and try to get you to understand how and what happens along the way. Now, of course, we have to put food in our mouth. Now, our mouth is the thing that starts things off by breaking up the food with our teeth and starting the digestion of sugars and chemicals called enzymes, okay? Really simple. Now, our tongue pushes the food to the back of our mouth, where we then swallow it, and it travels down the esophagus to the stomach. Now, the esophagus does not digest the food, but it does the important job of pushing the food down into the stomach, as well as keeping it from backing up into your mouth. Now, once in the stomach, further digestion takes place. Now, I know all of this isn't really exciting, but I kind of want you to really grab a hold of this, because I want you to understand what happens to food when you eat it. It's not all of that glamorous, but a lot of us really don't understand what happens. Now, the stomach produces acid. Now, this helps to kill the bacteria and other germs that can be in the food that you eat. Now, the stomach makes an enzyme that starts digestion of the, and releases a molecule that also will help with the absorption of vitamin B12. Now, once filled with food, the stomach grinds and churns the food to break it down into very small particles. Now, it then pushes the small particles of food into the first part of the small intestine called the duodenum, okay? Now, the small intestine is where most of the digestion and absorption of the food takes place, okay? Now, if you look at a baby, a newborn child, they have about 8 feet of small intestine at birth. Now, the length will grow throughout your childhood, and it will keep growing until usually between the ages of 12 and 20, 12 or so, and keep going on. And but the intestine will grow between 12 and 22 feet in adulthood. So once you reach adulthood, you're looking about 12 to 22 feet. Now, this also depends on the size of the adult. Bigger the adult, the bigger intestine, small intestine you will have. Now, the long length of the small intestine is needed so that enough space is available for our food to be broken down into the most elemental molecules. Now, this is how it then is absorbed into the body. Now, in the small intestine, food is processed by a whole lot of different chemicals that are designed for specific components of the meal. So you have enzymes for proteins, enzymes for fat, and enzymes for sugars. Okay. And then the proteins, fats, and sugars, which are carbohydrates, are digested by enzymes released by the pancreas. Now, a two from the pancreas joins to the duodenum, and all the enzymes travel together into the duodenum when food is present. Now, there's also another tube that connects to the liver and to the gallbladder to the duodenum. Now, what this tube does, it allows bile, which is very important in this whole process, and bile is made by the liver and stored in the gallbladder to mix with the food in the intestine. Now, bile is essential for complete fat digestion and for the digestion of those fat-soluble vitamins. If you remember what the fat-soluble vitamins are, they're A, D, E, and K. Now, once the sugars that we have been partially broken down by the enzymes of the pancreas, cells lining the small intestines use their enzymes to fully digest the sugars. Now, once proteins, fats, and carbohydrates are digested, absorption takes place in the small intestine. I know this isn't exciting, but I'm trying the best I can because this is very important. Now, most of the digestion occurs in the first part of the small intestine, while the absorption of broken down nutrients, which include water and vitamins and minerals, occur in the rest of the intestine. Now, 80% of the water we ingest is absorbed in the small intestine, okay? So once nutrients are absorbed by our intestine, they pass into our bloodstream and then are carried to the liver, okay? Now, the liver is so important when it comes to digestion. It is just absolutely unbelievably important. Now, the liver has a job of processing all of the nutrients, the vitamins, drugs that you take, and when I say drugs, I'm talking about things like, you know, your regular daily medications, if you take painkillers, steroids, anything that you take, the liver has a job of processing that. And other things we ingest and absorb each and every day. Now, it will turn protein, sugar, and fat into energy, which with the help of the pancreatic hormones, like insulin, will feed the cells of our body. Now, the liver also gets rid of the byproducts of drugs and nutrients that we don't need in the bile. Now, in fact, bile is the primary way, very important here, bile is the primary way the body gets rid of these excess things like cholesterol and heavy metals such as copper. Now, the large intestine, also called the colon, and that's important too to know that the colon is actually the large intestine, is not responsible for digestion at all. So no digestion takes place in the colon or the large intestine. Now, its purpose is to complete water and electrolytes, and those are the minerals found naturally in the body, such as potassium, calcium, sodium, and magnesium. So its purpose is to complete water and electrolyte absorption, okay, that's begun in the small intestine. Now, those components of foods that are not needed or cannot be absorbed are excreted from the colon in stool, okay? Now, the color of the stool comes from the tiny amount of bile released from the liver each day that is not reabsorbed. Now, the process of turning the food we eat into the energy our cells need is very complex. I'm just touching on it here. I'm not giving you any of the different types of energy systems or anything, just the basic idea here. And it requires a precise coordination between all of the different organs of the GI tract and use hormones and nerves to allow the organs to communicate, because they do. They communicate with each other through this whole process. Now, in fact, the GI tract has its own nervous system, believe it or not, and has as many nerve cells as the spinal cord, and this allows us to relax and think about what we are eating without worrying about what happens to it or to the food after we swallow the food. So that's kind of the digestive process. And so when you look at the digestive process, and one of the big things you always hear nutritionists, and you hear myself talk about too, is making sure that you're getting enough fruits and vegetables and fiber. The fiber is very important, because that fiber is one of those materials that is a byproduct that when it comes to the small intestine, that goes into the large intestine. So the more fiber that you have in your body, which holds water, then the quicker food will get through your intestinal tract, and you may absorb fewer calories because of the fiber pushing the food through the body. So just very important to have a lot of fiber in the diet. Now, secondly, which is just as important, we're going to talk about what happens to your brain, let's say, when you eat junk food. And then how does food affect your brain? And a lot of us wonder all the time, why do we crave junk food? Why are we craving this food that we want so bad? Now, all of us know, or at least most of us know, that junk food is unhealthy. There are no redeeming qualities to junk food, except sometimes we feel like it brings joy to us. Now, we absolutely know that poor nutrition is related to heart problems, high blood pressure, and just a host of other health ailments, diabetes, you name it, they're out there. Now, you might even know that, there are tons of studies out there that show that eating junk food has been linked to increases in depression also, which is very important. Now, but if all of the stuff that I just told you, the bad things that it can do to the body, why do we keep doing it to ourselves? And there really is an answer, and there's a science behind this answer, why we know that this crap kills us. It hurts our body, but we continue to do it on a daily basis. Even when we know the things that it will do to us. So, why do we crave the junk food that we eat every day? Okay. There's been all kinds of studies and food scientists that have been looking at this. And they spent years and years, 20 plus years studying, what makes certain foods more addictive and tasty than others. And there's just a ton of science out there. And it's excellent information. Now, when you eat what we call tasty food or junk food, there are two factors that make the experience pleasurable to us. Now, first, there is the sensation of eating the food, of course. This includes what it tastes like, whether it's salty, sweet, anything like that, what it smells like, and how it feels in your mouth. These qualities of the food are particularly important. Now, food companies will spend millions of dollars to discover the most satisfying level, believe it or not, of a crunch in a single potato chip, believe it or not. These company scientists will test for the perfect amount of sizzle in a soda. Now, all of these factors are combined to create the sensation that your brain associates with a particular food or drink. Now, the second factor is actually is the actual macronutrient makeup of the food. And this is like the blend, how much proteins, how many fats and carbohydrates that a particular food contains. Now, in the case of junk food, food manufacturers are looking for a perfect combination of salt, sugar, and fat that excites your brain and gets you coming back for more, okay? You know, you become a junkie. You really do. I mean, kind of thing, you know, junkie, junk food, come on. And this is basically, you know, how they do it. Now, there are a range of factors that scientists and food manufacturers use to make food more addictive. Now, number one, we're looking at dynamic contrast. Now, dynamic contrast, it's a combination of of different sensations in the same food. Now, let's say that it can be, they'll have different contrasts, such as an edible shell that goes crunch, and then this is followed by something soft or creamy and full of taste. You know, it will have an exciting taste to it. Now, this rule applies to a variety of our favorite of food structures. Now, we're talking, you know, like the caramelized top of a cream brulee or a slice of pizza. Or look at an Oreo cookie, crunchy on the outside, creamy on the inside. Okay? The brain finds crunching through something like this very novel and thrilling. Believe it or not, it really does. And you don't think about that. Then we have the salivary process, okay, or response. Now, salivation is part of the experience of eating food, and the more that a food causes you to salivate, the more it will swim throughout your mouth and cover your taste buds. And so we're looking at, you know, for example, like emulsified foods like butter, chocolate, salad dressings, ice cream, mayonnaise. All of these promote a salivary response. And this, you know, helps to lather your taste buds with a whole lot of goodness in your mouth, believe it or not. Now, this is one reason why many people enjoy foods that have sauces or glazes on them. Now, the result of these foods that promote salivation do a happy little tap dancing on your brain, and they taste better than the ones that don't, okay? I know this sounds crazy, but all of this is true. This is how the junk food gets a hold of you. Okay, now we're going to look at something else called rapid food meltdown and vanishing calorie density. Now, foods that rapidly vanish or melt in your mouth, it absolutely signals to your brain you're not eating as much as you actually are. In other words, these foods, what they're literally telling your brain is that you're not full, even though you're eating tons and tons of calories. And then what's the final result? You overeat. Portion control. You go to, let's say, you're going to have some M&Ms. You get the desired amount that's a portion on the M&Ms. You eat the M&Ms. How many people out there, how many of us can eat one portion of M&Ms? We eat the whole bag. And then we eat the small bag, and then if we go out and purchase the one-pound bag, we end up eating the whole pound. No. So, you know, it is just, you know, the sugar, how it affects our brains out there, it's astounding what it does. Now, you look at things like, let's say, Cheetos is one of the most marvelous constructed food out there that we have on the planet today. Okay. There are so many things in a Cheeto that will get you addicted to the Cheeto you can't kill them, okay? They have everything, crunch, sugar, salt, taste, melts in your mouth. I mean, everything, okay? Everything in there, okay? And you just cannot, there's no good calories in it, and your brain thinks like you're not full, so you eat. Before you know it, you have the whole bag of Cheetos gone, okay? Now, your body likes variety when it comes to food. Now, if you experience the same taste over and over again, then your brain starts to get less pleasure from the foods that you're eating. That's why if you are on a diet lifestyle plan and a menu plan, don't eat the same thing every day. Eat variety. Eat different fruits, different vegetables, different protein products, different grains. Eat all kinds of different things. Now, so again, your brain will start to get less and less pleasure from the food that it's eating. So basically, the sensitivity of these specific sensors will decrease over time. And believe it or not, it doesn't have to take days, weeks, or months. It can take minutes for these things to happen. But junk foods, however, are designed to avoid this sensory specific response. Okay. They provide enough taste to be interesting, and so your brain doesn't get tired of eating them, but it is not so stimulating that your sensory response in the brain gets dulled. Now, this is why you can swallow an entire bag of potato chips and still be ready to eat another bag. To your brain, the crunch and the sensation of eating, let's say, Doritos is novel and interesting every time you stick one in your mouth, okay? Yet don't get bored at Doritos because of this. Now, junk foods are designed to convince your brain that it is getting nutrition, but not to fill you up. Now, receptors in your mouth and stomach tell your brain about the mixture of proteins, fats, carbohydrates in a particular food and how filling that food is for your body. And junk food provides just enough calories that your brain says, yes, this little bit that I'm eating, that I'm getting out of this junk food, will give you some energy. But not so many calories that you think, that's enough, I'm full, okay? The result is that you can crave the food to begin with, but it takes quite some time to feel full from it. And we've all experienced that. You sit down and eat ice cream, M&M's, Doritos, potato chips, Baby Ruth bar. It just doesn't matter. We can go down the line. You just never feel full. You eat. Now, all of this stuff that I've talked about brings us to the most important question of it all. Food companies are spending millions of dollars to design foods with addictive sensations every day. And you need to understand that. They are not making this food to make you feel good or make you healthier. So what can you do about it? Okay. Is there any way to counteract the money for the science and the advertising behind the junk food industry? I got to tell you, really, no. I mean, there's not a whole lot we're going to be able to do. The biggest thing is that we have to be strong. If you have a bad day, keep it, or a bad, let's say, if you give in to a specific thing, give in to a little bit. Don't lose the whole day. But you're a work in progress. You know, we're addicted to sugar and all of these junk foods from pretty much the day that we're born. So what you have to do is keep the food out of your house, keep the food out of your car, keep the food out of your office. And guess what? If you don't buy it, you can't eat it. Well, everybody, you have a fantastic day. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope I helped you a little bit. You have a great week and great weekend. See you on the other side.